Thanks for joining us today on the Eastern Maine Sports Media Podcast, where tonight I'm going to have John Elba with me, and we'll talk a little bit about him in just a second. First, I want to let you know what's coming up on Eastern Maine Sports Media. We have a Field Hockey broadcast, actually, Tuesday night, Orno at Foxcroft Field Hockey, the Jim Robinson Fieldhouse, a 5:15 pregame show for that. And then we'll be right into the playoff action after that. We'll know where the field hockey and soccer teams match up, and we'll have the first Foxcroft football playoff game in about 3 weeks. So we'll have that also, and check out all of our podcasts. We had the Fort Kent boys soccer team the other day. That's posted. The Narragansett volleyball team. We'll have the Penobscot Valley girls soccer team, who's undefeated early this week too. So check that all out. But tonight I got a special guest, John Elber. You might know him from locally. He used to be, on Channel 7 here locally, and Fox 22, I believe, too. So we talked about that, but he's now just got a new job. So we're going to I'm going to first take it over to him so he can tell you what he's doing now, and then we'll, chat about some sports.
Mark, it's great to chat with you, man. It's funny hearing you say all of those different team names, the school names. They're names that I obviously haven't said in a very long time myself, but they sit in the back of your head. You know, you never forget about those things. I'm sure 20 years from now, I'll still remember going to the Dome in Narragansett and, you know, stuff like that. It's very nostalgic for me and very sentimental to me. But yeah, man, it's great to chat with you. And, life's got its ups and downs, but right now we're doing well and things are good.
Excellent, excellent. And John's new job is at Sportsnet New York, where, very well-known, probably comparable locally maybe to Nesson. Right, John?
Yeah, I'd say it's pretty similar to Nesson. SNY is the TV home of the Mets, and they also cover all New York sports. They cover UConn as well. So you get a good diversity. They're also available nationwide in certain cable providers, but it's primarily New York City, New Jersey, and Connecticut. But there are some people who can get access to it elsewhere, and it's been great so far. It's a great environment, and I work as a contributor for the Sports Night Show, which is like their Sports Center style show. And, you know, it's a really cool journey for me, Mark, because when I was a little kid, 5, 6 years old, I used to sneak into the den at 6 a.m. before school to watch MSG Sports Desk, which was kind of one of the first regional sports network highlight shows. And seeing that progression for me into like the YES Network, and now getting an opportunity to work for a regional sports network, I'm very, very grateful for it.
Yeah, great opportunity for you. Now, we want to talk a little bit about the we'll talk about different sports, but we'll start off with the Major League Baseball playoffs. And, my prediction before the playoffs was the Astros and Phillies. So that's still a chance there. But, a lot of all the teams that won the most games are out, so that didn't work out for them. Been a lot of talk about, the delay in between the regular season, the end of the regular season, and the first game of the playoffs. Doesn't it seem to affect the Astros, but it seems to affect everybody else. So I think it, what do you think? I mean, I think it's more about, maybe the Phillies are just more playoff ready, but what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Phillies have proven now 2 years in a row that baseball is one of those sports very similar to hockey, where you get hot at the right time, you can ride that momentum pretty damn deep into the postseason and the playoffs. If you just catch fire, everyone's healthy, you got a good game manager in Rob Thompson, and most importantly for them, they have electric home field advantage. Playing in Citizens Bank Park right now is like what it used to be playing at the old Yankee Stadium in the postseason. The ghosts come out, and it's all of a sudden there's all this mystique and aura. And right now that's the environment, Citizens Bank Park. It is going to be interesting to see over the next couple of years or so if Major League Baseball rethinks its playoff format, because you did see so many of these higher seeds fall early. it does feel like it weakens the 162 game season a little bit, because one of the merits of that 162 game season is you grind it out all year long and you win that division. You're supposed to reap the reward from that. And I think this layoff is hurting some of these teams for sure, especially at this time of the year when you're trying to maintain as much momentum as you can. So it is going to be interesting, Mark, to see if Major League Baseball revisits that.
Yeah, baseball is not like other sports. It's not really, they're used to playing every day. And, in basketball or football or hockey, that might be an advantage, advantage getting the extra time off. But, they get to set the pitching, but, everything else, time is off and everything. But as I said, the Astros have been able to adjust. Let's start off with the National League Series, the Phillies and Diamondbacks. Obviously, everybody's picking the Phillies now, but the Diamondbacks haven't lost a game in the playoffs. And, they're riding a hot streak. They defeated a Dodgers team who won a lot of games. Obviously, the pitching was kind of not up to par come playoff time. Some injuries, and Kershaw didn't have a great game. But I think everybody's overlooking the Diamondbacks, probably even me. But what do you think about that series?
The Diamondbacks remind me a lot of the 2003 Marlins. They're kind of playing with house money, and nobody's really factoring them into the equation at Pete, but they've got a great manager. They're young. They're hungry. I see no reason they can't win that series. But again, I think Philly is just playing with so much momentum. And assuming Bryce Harper's healthy, which it looks like he's going to be okay after that scare the other night. But I really expect that, honestly, to be a pretty good series. I think Philly probably wins just because of that home field. It's just going to be impossible, especially for young players, to just march in there and win. Can they do it? Sure, they can. They're really, really talented, that Diamondbacks team. And I think they're going to be around for a long time. I don't think they're going anywhere. But right now, it just seems like the Phillies have that factor of, and I hate to keep going back to it, but it really does remind me of like the Dynasty Yankees, where every part of that lineup can beat you. And that's going to be really hard for any team in the AL or NL to overcome.
Yeah, and, they got Wheeler and Nola at the top of the rotation, plus all their big-time players aren't fazed by this atmosphere, and they come up clutch, huh?
Yeah, I mean, they feed off of that atmosphere, and that's ideally what home field advantage is supposed to be, right? So, I think the Phillies probably win this series, but I could see it going six games. I think it could be a very competitive series.
Now, the other series, the Rangers, I counted out before the playoffs because of the bullpen, but that hasn't been a factor because they haven't allowed it to. They had one game where Chapman got out of a jam. He was pretty wild, and he got a double play ball.
Aldis Chapman wild? No way.
Yeah, you see that as a Yankee fan, right?
I know that firsthand. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but they did get out of that, and it really hasn't been a factor. And now they're getting Max Scherzer and Gray back. So that kind of deepens where they can maybe move some guys into the bullpen and get, to maybe kind of, in the playoffs, you're kind of all hands on deck. So you can move guys around. Getting by those first two series and getting Scherzer back and Gray, give them some pretty good chance against the Astros, isn't it?
Yeah, I could see the series going seven, honestly. I think this is going to be a very competitive series. You could stack all the analysis you want up on the Houston Astros, and it's not going to matter because they're just perennial playoff performers. That's what they do. They win in the postseason, right? Even in years where we've looked at them and we said, they're probably a little weaker than they were last year, whatnot, they always compete, and they're always there. I mean, Alex Bregman, I saw the stat. He's been in the league seven seasons. He's made the ALCS in each one. He has never been eliminated before the ALCS in his career. That is a dynasty, right? Like, that is dominance straight through. So I think this will be an excellent series. I'm not hedging too much on Max Scherzer, depending on what his health is looking like. Fatigue has historically been a problem for him in the playoffs. But I think, it's great that you get two great teams from Texas. That's going to be an interstate rivalry, and two really good managers. And, speaking of that, it goes to show you that for all these teams that hire these no experienced managers, not to say that they can't be successful, they certainly can, but look who's in this series right now, Bruce Bochy and Dusty Baker. And kudos to the Rangers for being able to lure Bruce Bochy out of retirement and bring him in because he's been the perfect guy for that team. He's a Hall of Fame manager through and through.
Yeah, I should have counted that in before the playoffs, the Bochy factor. Yeah. You know, that is a big factor. Dusty Baker's great too. Now, to the Astros, you know, obviously people still bring up the, you know, 2017, you know, the cheating stuff. But pretty much now they've won seven in a row. They, you know, kind of, I mean, obviously that's never going to be forgotten, but that can kind of be kind of thrown out now. They prove they can do it without that, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think we've seen basically a brand new team. They've just developed talent super well. That's what they do. And even as they change personnel in the front office, they still manage to maintain consistency. That's just what happens when you have a strong organizational philosophy of how you attack the game, something the Red Sox nor Yankees have right now. And it shows you how that guard has changed, where Houston is just a perennial contender every year because of how balanced they are across the board in their approach to player and talent development.
Yeah. And I think too, the Astros and Rangers, they did a lot of the deadline. The Orioles and even Blue Jays and you know, the other teams that got eliminated really didn't do anything. So
I don't think the Orioles needed to do much at the deadline, honestly. I mean, they were a stellar team. Even in the second half, after not doing anything at the deadline, they were fantastic. So I think with them, they just kind of ran out of gas with a bunch of young players. And that, I mean, that's what happens when you have young players, right? They're going to learn from the situation. It kind of reminds me, honestly, of the 2015 Astros, where the Astros, they got past the Yankees in the wild card round. Then they kind of ran out a little gas, but they were young. And you're like, man, this team's going to be really good for years to come. And that's pretty much what I think the Orioles are.
Yeah, and their big loss obviously was Batista late in the season, yeah. You know, kind of shortened their bullpen and all that. You know, again, we talked about you being in New York. Now, talk about kind of the Mets fans' feelings right now. They trade, you know, everybody before the season expected Verlander and Scherzer to be pitching right now still, but not for the Astros. No.
Yeah.
What's the feeling of Mets fans right now?
Disappointment, I think. I think it's somewhat hopeful that David Stearns, the new president of baseball operations, is going to come in and rebuild without having to do a full rebuild and kind of do a quick turnaround and get that team positioned to be in a spot where maybe not this coming year, but the year after, they can go win a World Series. I think that's the intent. Who will be their general manager? Who will be their manager? Will a GM even matter at all with a new president of baseball operations? That's to be seen. But I think who their manager is going to be a big question too. You know, a lot of people seem to think Craig Counsell is probably the leading candidate for them, but there are a lot of quality names out there for managerial opening. You got to imagine when the Astros are done, their bench coach, Joe Espada, who's constantly been attached to managerial openings, he's a guy who could get a call. They've got Carlos Beltran if they really want to pull the trigger on that and do that. A name I've been talking about a lot is David Cohn. I think David Cohn should get a look from someone if that's a path that he wants to pursue. I think your Red Sox manager, Alex Cora, is a guy that, if something were to be worked out, I could see a guy like him ending up, or his brother, Joey, managing the Mets. So there are a lot of quality options out there. It's just, do you go with someone from the old guard or do you go with someone from the new guard?
Yeah. And, you know, talk about maybe the Red Sox and Yankees for a minute. You talked about, you know, they're not what they used to be and they don't run, neither team runs things like they used to. But with the Red Sox kind of, you know, getting rid of Bloom, I think he did exactly what they wanted him to, build a farm system. Didn't spend much money, but I think him not pulling the trigger, because they were right in it, this trade deadline, and then they didn't do anything, and, you know, they just weren't deep enough. But, and then, you know, obviously the Yankees, you know, they pretty much had Gerrit Cole and not much else after him, pitching-wise. So, talk about those two teams, and do you expect one or both of them to kind of be big spenders this offseason?
I mean, I could see both teams spending. I think the Yankees would probably be more likely to spend than the Red Sox this offseason, but I don't know what the Yankees' philosophy is going to be coming out of this offseason. I think that there's going to be a lot of finger pointing without a whole lot being done, honestly. I talked to some people in the Yankees organization throughout the year, and genuinely the Yankees' belief is walk and hit home runs, swing as hard as you can. And you're not going to win a World Series like that. It's just not going to happen. The 2009 team was the closest thing that won with that mentality, but it still wasn't even like that. And that was a big part of them, or I should say, bringing in people like CeCe Sabathia and Mark Teixeira and AJ Burnett that offseason. So I could see them trying to do something similar and reloading. I could see a scenario where this was like the 2008 season for them and they try to come in next year, like 2009. But the difference is this is not a great free agent market this year. You know, you've got Ohtani, and he's not going to be able to pitch next year. So that already takes some help, and I don't see him coming to the East Coast anyway. You've got Yoshinobu Yamamoto, who
I think he's a big prize, really.
It seems like he can be a big deal, but it's like at the same time, anyone you bring in from Japan is not a guarantee, right? You don't know, and he's only 5'10", so you don't know how he's going to translate to the majors in that sense. It's kind of a weak free agency class, so I don't know who the Yankees or Mets or Red Sox, for that matter, would spend big on. I think if any of those teams want to really do something, it's going to have to come through trades. And the name that I just keep looking at for both the Yankees and Red Sox and the Mets, if you want to throw them in too, is Juan Soto. And if the Padres end up shopping him, I think all three of those teams could make a competitive package for him if they really wanted to. And I think Juan Soto would rake at all three of those ballparks. So it's just a matter of, are you willing to go all in? You know, famously, all of these teams passed on Bryce Harper because they're like, you know, we don't need him. The Yankees had six outfielders. Well, five of them no longer play for the team, you know, and the Red Sox didn't feel like they needed Bryce Harper, who would have raked at Fenway Park. So it's going to be interesting, Mark, to see if these teams wake up a little bit and realize they are no longer the prestigious teams in the American League. They are, I don't want to say cellar dwellers, but they're not far off from that right now.
Yeah, and I think all of them need to change that mindset to kind of get the fans back and get themselves back. And
sure.
No doubt about it. I think also you mentioned Soto, and I agree with, that's a big name of the trade market, but also Corbin Burns might be out there too. And could be beneficial there. You think the Mets, because they're going to try and they'll spend whatever, cause they got the owner that will do it. But do you think, you know, you mentioned maybe the year after, it seems like with the trades they made, it might be 2025 when they contend again.
Yeah, and I think all eyes this year are on what they do with Pete Alonso. I think Pete Alonso is kind of the mystery piece there. And are you re-signing him to an extension? Are you trading him at the deadline? Are you letting him walk? You know, he just signed with Scott Boras, and historically Scott Boras clients ride out their contracts and test free agency. You know, Pete Alonso, even though the power was there for him this year, his average was way down. And he dealt with some injuries for the first time in his career at that length. So, you know, it's a dicey situation there. And are you betting on yourself? What are you going to make out of your value in a contract year? It's going to be interesting, Mark. I think the Mets probably next year, it's kind of a let's see if we can qualify for the playoffs kind of year. But the expectation is 2025.
All right, we talked a lot of baseball. That's my favorite thing to talk about. But we're gonna touch on some other sports before we end this today. Again, you're in New York. Talk about the Jets for a minute. And what's the feeling around their quarterback? Because obviously, nationally, the feeling is they need somebody until Rodgers gets back. But it looks like he did a little bit better last week. And is he progressing?
Yeah, I mean, Zach Wilson has made strides in the past couple of weeks. 2 weeks in a row, he's thrown for 70%. More completion percentage, and a Jets quarterback hasn't done that since 2017. So it's been a little rough for them. I think his footwork is starting to get there. He's starting to build a little more confidence. You know, they just suffered a couple more injuries to their offensive line, and that's never going to help. It's not like the Giants offensive line, but it's not great either. So I think that for a year where Zach Wilson wasn't even supposed to play, it looks like he's starting to come into his own a bit. Is he the long-term answer? I think the jury's still out on that one.
Yeah, and quickly on the Giants, Daniel Jones is out this week. You know, they might be battling with the Patriots for number one pick by the time we're all said and done, huh?
Yeah, not a great year for the Giants, especially with what the expectations were. I mean, this is a historically bad offensive line, historically bad, and they can't stay healthy. It feels like a hopeless season, and it's like for them – you're in this predicament because if you get the number one pick, Well, Caleb Williams is out there, and it seems like he's the consensus number one pick. You just signed Daniel Jones to this long contract. And you have to ask yourself, is Daniel Jones bad this year because he has no protection whatsoever? Or has he just regressed as a quarterback? And that's a really difficult decision that you have to make.
Yeah, Patriots kind of in that same situation with that quarterback. Patriots would love to have Zach Wilson right now, I think.
I'd pass on Mac Jones. I think the Mac Jones experience is very much showing that it has a shelf life.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Lastly, let's touch on the Knicks. What's the feeling about the Knicks coming into the season? Obviously around here, feelings are high on the Celtics, and the hopes are high. But what's the feelings? The Knicks are in the same conference, and one of the Celtics rivals. What's the feeling around the Knicks?
You said the Knicks or the Nets?
Yeah, well, both. But Knicks.
I mean, I think the Knicks are pretty much the same team they were last year. I don't think they're that much different. I mean, they had Dante DiVincenzo, but that's really it. A man you're familiar with, Evan Fournier, really hasn't done anything for the Knicks, and that's been a hurtful piece for them because they kind of banked on him being a clutch shooter for them, and it just hasn't worked out, but he's still on the roster as of now. Look, they're a team that plays really hard. I mean, that's a Tom Thibodeau team, right? That's what they do. They play hard. They play good defense. If Jalen Brunson comes back and has the season that he had last year, he's going to be a top-tier guard in the league. You know, you hope that Randall can be the player that he was for much of the season last year. He kind of faded away in the second round of the playoffs last season, but I think people expect them to kind of be where they were last year, around 5 seed or so. They're a superstar away from being really good. Randall's kind of like on that tier of he could be a superstar, but he's not quite. Brunson could be a superstar, but not quite there yet. The reality is, in the NBA, to win, you need at least one superstar. That's just how the league works. The Nets, I think people are discounting the Nets. I think the Nets are going to be better than people think they're going to be, especially if Ben Simmons does come back and play well, which so far in the preseason, he's looked great. And if he comes back, you stick him in there with a defensive piece like Nick Claxton, who's been one of the best. He was one of the best defensive players in the league last year. And then, in my opinion, a guy who's going to be a superstar in this league, Mikal Bridges, I think he's going to be a top-tier player in the NBA. I honestly expect him to be an all-star this year. You combine those pieces together, I think they're a good team. I saw their over-under was set at 37.5. I'm definitely going the over on them. I think they're going to be better than people think. But the top of the East is really good. It's really good. I mean, the Celtics made the necessary improvements this year with Porzingis and Drew Holiday. They became a better team, locking Brown up as well. Giannis got some help with Damian Lillard. The Heat are always going to be competitive, even down, up and down, right? Like, even the Magic are a better team. I think the East got a lot better and stepped up more to the quality of what the Western Conference was for so long.
We're going to end this, John, by having you predict the Major League Baseball, the rest of the Major League Baseball playoffs, the ALCS. Who you got there?
ALCS, I will go. I'm going to go Rangers in 7.
Interesting. I love this.
Isn't that amazing? You're doing it without DeGrom, too. Like, you bring up DeGrom, and he's just not even a factor.
Yeah. And without DeGrom, and not without Scherzer, but he hasn't been part of it yet, and we don't know how much he's going to be part of it. But great job by Bochy there, and no matter what happens. But I hope you're right on the 7 games.
I'm going to go Rangers in 7, and I will go Phillies in 6. And then I will go Phillies in 6 in the World Series.
There you go. I got to stick with my original pick, Phillies over the Astros. But
the Phillies were my preseason pick to win the World Series. I had them against the Blue Jays. I thought the Blue Jays were going to be a lot better than they were this year.
They underachieved, that's for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I want to thank you again, John, for joining. Maybe we can do this again, again sometime and talk more sports. It's great talking. We haven't done it in a while. Talk sports with you. You're always great when you're up here, doing the stories around here. And now you're down there doing the New York type of thing.
Yeah, it's great chatting with you, Mark. I really I love my time in Maine. It was a very different adjustment in life for me, and getting adjusted to the smaller town living, which was something I had never done prior to that. But the community up there in Maine was so great to me and really embraced me as one of their own. And I'm so grateful for that experience and grinding it out there. And I mean, you know what that hustle's like, especially tourney time. You know, it's a grind. And for as difficult as it was, it made me 10 times the broadcaster that I am now in comparison to then. And great people, and I hope everyone there is doing well.
All right, excellent. Thank you, John, and have a great night.
Thank you, Mark.